Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, by now you've heard that the young man accused of planting those pipe bombs has been arrested. He is a 21-year-old man named Luke Helder. He allegedly planted pipe bombs throughout the Midwest and Southwest, seemingly sprung from a middle-class family, went to the University of Wisconsin. And I guess the question is, how do you see this trouble coming? With us is Roland Schwinn. He's with a group called Project Youth Watch, and with a decidedly different or unusual view, I guess, on what causes kids like this to act violently. And thanks for joining us, Mr. Schwinn.
My pleasure.
What are the roots of a person like a Luke Helder?
Well, first of all, if he is responsible...
Yeah, he's the alleged bomber.
That is correct. First off, Phil, we're very concerned about the parental selfishness, I think, that makes a kid like who Mr. Helder might be. Let's understand that we live in a prosperous society. We have a great deal now. We didn't used to have. There was a time when depriving a young person was a good thing, and I'm not so sure anymore. We see our children now who've been deprived. They have psychological problems, sociological. The deprivation we think is a bad thing, and I will myself as an example. I'm just a few years older than Mr. Helder. I suffer myself from an eating disorder. I overeat, and it's caused me health problems, and it's because my parents deprived me of free time, time with my friends, having to catch rides to school. I had to wash my own clothes. I had to, at times, cook my own meals. In school, I was subjected to a selfishness that has caused my overeating. Thank God it's just that, and that I am not planting pipe bombs. And when I first saw my physical state in the mirror for the first real time, I swore that my parents' abuse of me, and yes, I do call it abuse, wasn't going to keep me from helping others my own age. Luke Helder, Mr. Henry, I don't know if you know this, was a Kurt Cobain fan.
Now, why is that significant?
Well, it makes sense. We are the Ritalin generation. We were drugged up by our parents that couldn't be bothered, and Luke Helder, this boy could have been avoided.
Well, how could a Luke Helder been avoided? I mean, you're talking about the Ritalin generation, the generation that Kurt Cobain sang about.
Well, the best way is to show that child appreciation. The 16th birthday is a significant birthday, and I cannot stress to you how important that birthday is. When a young man, and this is very important, especially a young man reaching his 16th birthday, you have to buy him a car. It is the one and only thing that stands between him and literally thrusting a pipe bomb into the face of rural Americans. And if you don't want to see a pipe bomb in your son's hands, put a set of car keys there. It's not a hard decision.
All right, a car? Now, a car, first of all, you're talking about a material possession, right?
I am talking about individuation. Where a young, this is very, very important, and I want the parents listening to me to please get this. A young man who cannot individuate, a young man who cannot feel as if he has the ability to individuate and begin to spread his wings, begins to feel constrained, and that can lead to this. Now, you were going to say a car being a significant expense, correct?
Yeah, it's a very significant expense, just to show a kid you trust him.
But this is also to show them that you love them. If you want to avoid further pipe bombings, buy them a car or some kind of boat or airplane. Something that shows that you respect their...
A boat or an airplane or a car. And how many people do you think have the money?
To purchase a...
To purchase a boat or an airplane or a car for their kid.
Well, this is the question that must be asked. Do you have the money for a boat or an airplane, for instance, to buy your eldest?
Well, our eldest son, we purchased the car so that all the kids could use getting to and from school.
Well, let's say that you didn't have the money.
Let's say I didn't have the money.
Do you want to just go ahead and go online with him and look up fertilizer bomb? Just go ahead and start to help him and enable him.
You're trying to tell me if I don't buy a car for my kid, I'm enabling him to build a pipe bomb?
I'm saying it's much better to buy him a car than to go online with him, take notes with him, and do a father-son project on how to blow a farmhouse off of its foundations. Now, this is so important, Phil, and I'm trying. I got my first car.
Well, okay, hold on for a minute.
No, I got my first car when I was 18, and it was not a very good car. And a friend of mine around the same time bought a new suit, and he used to say, "You see this suit? I got it at the men's warehouse, and it's worth more than your car." Now, that is a crushing thing to have a friend say to another. That's when my eating disorder started.
You're talking about giving a kid a thing.
No, it is not a thing. It is an individuation. Purchase a car for your son, and he won't be thrusting a pipe bomb into a mailbox and possibly blowing the face off of an American Gothic. The painting, the American Gothic, you want to see the faces of that blown off? Don't buy your kid a car.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Roland Schwinn is with Project Youth Watch. And you work with kids?
We work with a number of children, both inner city and rural children, who are troubled. And we have found that purchasing a car for a 16-year-old is the best way to avoid this kind of violence.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Luke Helder, I have no way of knowing whether he had a car or not.
I can tell you right now, for that boy to act the way he did, I'm sure he didn't have one.
What if you found out that his father had purchased him a car?
Then I would like to know whether it was a new one. I'd like to find out whether it was a used one. Purchasing an automobile for a 16-year-old is the most single most significant thing you can do for a 16-year-old boy. I did not have that. As the result, I sit here on your radio broadcast today, Mr. Henry, suffering from two kinds of an eating disorder. Even as I speak to you right now, I'm in a restaurant.
And, well, I was told that by my producer.
And that is troubling even to me, that I have to sit here and eat food while I'm talking to you. Because I was not...
Because your dad didn't buy you a car.
Not because my dad didn't buy me a car, but because he didn't show me the trust to allow me the freedom that it would take to break free and find my own way. Instead, I was kept tied to them until my 18th birthday, which time to give me a used car, and that's why I eat too much. This is all so important for parents to understand. And
well, I would go back to what I originally said. Many parents cannot simply afford to buy their kids a new car.
Do you ever wonder why it is that crime is generally that born of poor people? Do you ever wonder why it is that criminals generally come from the poorer classes? Because they are generally the people who don't have the money to buy their children a car. This is so significant and so important, and I'm amazed, I'm stunned, that more people such as yourself, Mr. Henry, and other people in your listening audience don't get it. The poor commit crimes. Can they buy their kids cars? No. Add it up. Put two and two together. This is what we're talking about.
Again, there's not enough money.
I would agree there's not enough money.
All right, well, then why don't we just make the country richer so we can buy all the 16-year-olds cars so they won't be making pipe bombs?
No, but I think that once the problem is isolated and once the problem is focused in on, then you can say, aha, that is the real problem. Now let's see what we can do either at a state level or federal level to try to come up with some solution to this problem. But you got right now, do you want to give your boy car keys, or do you want to stick your hand into a mailbox one day and pull back an arm with no hand? Because that is what we're talking about when we talk about the need for this country to come to terms with a youth problem that is born of the fact that most 16-year-olds don't have their own car. Now, I know that you've just gone through this, and I know that you've solved the problem.
Well, I didn't buy my boy a car thinking that if I didn't, he was going to blow people up with a pipe bomb. And you're telling me that if I don't lay money into his hands, or if I don't come up with the money to buy him a car, that I might as well, and I wrote down what you said, I might as well get online with him as a father-son project and look up how to make fertilizer bombs.
That's right. You read me right.
And you stand by what you're saying?
I stand by every word of it. And if Luke Helder is the man planting these pipe bombs, I can assure you, somewhere in his past, someone humiliated him by not giving him an automobile.
A new one?
A new one, yes.
It just doesn't, it's not going to happen. There's not enough money out there. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686. Roland Schwinn is on our program. He's been on before. He's with Project Youth Watch. Why are kids planting pipe bombs? Why did Luke Helder do this? He didn't get a car when he was 16. And this is a deprived generation. This is the Ritalin generation. He's a Kurt Cobain fan. These kids need their own cars. If they don't get them, they might as well be just handed a manual on how to make fertilizer bombs. Now, he had a car at 18. When did you get your first car, Craig? I got my first car when it was my sister's hand-me-down. It was my sister's Volkswagen. I got it when I was 19. I was on a motorcycle till till then. And, yeah, I don't recall having any problems, although I do smoke, you know, I smoked cigarettes for a lot of years. He has an eating disorder because his father bought him a used car at 18, and a friend of his cracked that his new suit from Zeidler & Zeidler was worth more than his car. That can be humiliating. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking to Roland Schwinn. He's with the Project Youth Watch. Are you at a restaurant right now?
Yes, I am. And
So you have an eating disorder.
I have an eating disorder which propels me to spend a good part of my time in restaurants or eating. And the reason for this was the reason why a young man spent several days putting pipe bombs in the mailboxes. I consider myself very lucky, Mr. Hendry. I consider myself to be fortunate that I was not propelled into violent action, and by violent action I mean this sort of thing that this young man, Mr. Helder, did.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 29.
You're 29 years old. This kid is 22. So you're basically from the same generation?
I am from the same generation. To avoid the violence that is being perpetrated by individuals like this, purchase your son either a automobile or some kind of a timeshare so that they can be alone, so that they can spend time with friends or spend time with themselves. A lot of the
buy them a timeshare. You're talking about a timeshare, a condominium?
You can purchase timeshare condominiums in the desert or out in the Hawaiian Islands or in Florida. Kids today need more alone time so that they can begin to put some things into perspective. I talk to kids every day. I know. An automobile, a boat, an airplane, or send them on spring break to Mexico, which is a way for them to relax. Most of the spring breaks are being shut down around the country.
Well, with good reason. There's a lot of drunkenness going on. Dana, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am, good.
I wanted to make a comment to the gentleman that's speaking.
Yes.
And I don't agree with him at all, not at all. I think it's wrong
to stereotype. Do you have young people at home?
Sir?
Do you have young people at home?
Yes, I do.
All right, you have any that are of driving age?
No, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been a 16-year-old before, and I knew a lot of 16-year-olds. And I feel
that's the most worthless argument of all. And parents love to say, I was young once, too. But it was different for each generation.
Yes, it was different for each generation, but I'm your age.
Did you have your own car?
Did I have my own? No.
Well, a young man needs to feel like a man, and this Luke Helder was just trying to find his masculinity. That's why a car like a Camaro or a Trans Am or a Corvette.
Do you understand how many of those 18-year-olds, why insurance is so high for an automobile that will go that fast? Do you understand that?
Well, what is your point? I'm trying to avoid, you're worried about insurance. And
I'm trying to avoid
a farmer getting his face blown off with a pipe bomb. And you're
That's
worried
good,
about the cost
you're...
of insurance.
Excuse me.
You're worried
but
about
you're
the cost
generalizing
of insurance.
And you're stereotyping every 16-year-old male.
Would
Do you,
you
understand
have...
that most parents cannot afford to buy their own new
well,
car?
Well, this is the argument that Mr. Hendry used.
Yes, it is my argument.
But I would ask both of you, would you like to have high insurance rates or would you like to pull no hand out of a mailbox?
I'm just trying to make a point to you. You're talking about Trans Ams. You're not talking about a Nova to get to point A to point B because they want independence.
I'm talking about purchasing an automobile that is going to make a young man or a young woman, for that matter, feel as if they've individuated enough and the symbiotic relationship is over so that they have individuated and self-actualized and they're not out trying to blow the faces off of farm women while they're pitching hay. Do you have a son?
Blowing
yes,
the
I
faces
have two.
Off of...
You have two sons. Are they
I
driving,
have two.
Are they of driving age?
No.
Have you picked out a car for them?
No, they're nowhere near driving age.
Well, I would go to a Chevrolet dealership. I would look at the Camaro or the Corvette. Otherwise, you're... Yeah? Okay, great. Otherwise, how, are you going to laugh when your garage is on fire one night?
Can we address your timeshare issue?
Yes, go on the road.
Okay.
This is the one that I don't get. The timeshare, you're going to buy a timeshare for kids.
I'm saying it's a way to make them feel independent.
It is. And I also heard you make a comment about taking spring break somewhere in Mexico.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you seen the videos of what 18-year-old boys do in Mexico on spring break?
Again, there is nothing you can say to me because it's either they go down to Mexico and they drink a bottle of mezcal or they're blowing farmhouses off of their foundations.
But the comment that you made, I believe, was so that they could have downtime and relax.
Yes,
is that the comment that you made?
That's how they relax.
Okay, they're relaxing.
All right, look it. I mean...
Well, you're not making any point. All you're doing is asking me questions.
Well, we do have to move along. Did you have a comment, Dana?
No, I've made as much point as I think I'm going to make.
All right, thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686 is our number as we talk to Roland Schwinn. Who is with Project Youth Watch. How do you prevent a Luke Helder? How do you prevent pipe bombers? How do you prevent kids from running around the countryside, placing pipe bombs in mailboxes and blowing farmhouses off of their foundations? The most important step is to, at their 16th birthday, purchase them a new automobile, preferably a Camaro or Corvette, so that they can individuate, and it has to be a Camaro.
Well, the Camaro and the Corvette is favored by young men. The Camaro, for the most part, is a young man's Porsche. That's an automobile that helps a young man feel as if he's begun to individuate. And this is very, very important. And, excuse me, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Eddie. Get them a Camaro. And this is the most controversial aspect of our program. It is desperately, desperately important for you to, and forgive me, but you need to get them a woman. And I would suggest buy them a prostitute who will ride in the passenger seat as they're driving down the road.
You got to be kidding me.
Please listen to me, Mr. Henry.
I'm going to buy my son a prostitute and a Camaro.
Yes, please listen to me. This is desperately, desperate. I need to get this message out to parents. Your 16-year-old son needs to be purchased a brand-new Camaro and a prostitute, yes. And it would have to be a prostitute unless your wife has a friend who'd be willing to do this. And yes, perform oral sex on him while he's driving down the freeway.
And this is going to do what?
This, again, is going to help him individuate away from mama, away from father, and begin to feel he is his own man. Once he does this, you can feel assured that there won't be farmhouses being...
I know, blown off of their foundations.
Well, Luke Helder's father is probably thinking right now, if only I had hired that prostitute 5 years ago. If only I had given the boy the individuation that he needed.
All right, I want to get this straight. In order to keep my son from building fertilizer bombs, which you said he would do...
That's right.
Buy him a Corvette and a prostitute and have her perform oral sex on him while he's driving down the street.
Right.
And if he's underage and I get thrown into jail...
That's a problem. But would you rather spend one night in jail, Mr. Henry, and yes, all right, perhaps being jail-raped, rather than your son...
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Rather than your... Stay with me on this, Phil. Stay with me on this.
And you're the guy in a restaurant eating.
I've got an eating disorder for good reason. I am telling you, civil suits can arise. Would you rather spend a night in a jail being raped or have your son planted in the...
Swallow.
Or have your son plant a pipe bomb in a farmhouse. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the last bit.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. In order to avoid Luke Helders and kids like that, buy your son a Corvette when he's 16 and hire a prostitute to sit shotgun with him. 1-800-449-8686. The number is the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Gary Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking about Luke Helder, a young man who was arrested for allegedly planting pipe bombs in the Midwest, 22 years of age. How can these things be avoided? Roland Schwinn is with Project Youth Watch. I want to ask you, Mr. Schwinn, you said the way to avoid this among young men is at 16, buy them a new car, preferably a Camaro or Corvette, hire a prostitute to perform oral sex on them. What possible good does a prostitute performing oral sex on a guy as he's driving down the road?
You have to understand, Mr. Henry, it is a matter of how his friends view him. If his friends see him going, understand that this is a young man, and peer pressure is very important. If his friends see him driving down a highway in a beautiful red Camaro, and every now and again the back of a woman's head comes up and then goes down, I realize it says...
Oh, come on.
No, I realize it sounds ridiculous. But his friends will look over, and here's a blonde head, hair, and then it goes down. Then the blonde hair comes up. This is a point of pride for him. Now, it's either that, or as I said, farmhouses start disappearing. Mailboxes start disappearing, and along with it, someone's hair. A blonde female head bobbing as a man has it in cruise control, it doesn't get much better than that. And there was a time in my life when...
All right, I don't want to hear about your life if you don't mind, and frankly, I'm a married man, okay?
What color's your wife's hair?
It happens to be blonde.
That's my point. That's my point. That's my point, Mr. Henry. And this is something so desperately that parents need to do.
A blonde head bobbing up and down.
It's better than pulling an arm out of a mailbox. Hey, guess what? No hand.
Let me go over to Jeannie. Jeannie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Schwinn, I want to talk to you.
I'm sorry, this is Roland Schwinn.
You are screwed up. You should be pulled out of your job with children. I have a lot of experience with children. I was aquatic director of the Dairy NY. I had 500 kids.
So you taught a swimming class. What's that got to do with anything?
No,
I'm talking about young men.
You do not. You do not change anybody when they come to be 16 by giving them a car and a prostitute.
Can you hold on for just a minute? I'm sorry,
Mr. Schwinn. We're on the air. Okay.
Hold on. I've got a pizza that's being delivered. What do you want me to do?
Get somebody else to get it.
You are.
I've got to get the people.
You. This starts from babyhood. You've been screwed up from babyhood. Your parents just didn't treat you bad at your 16th birthday. You were there from birth.
I didn't get a Camaro. And
you didn't get. You didn't get a proper upbringing. You have no love in your life. You have no respect in your life.
I'm trying to keep young men from blowing mailboxes off.
You're promoting young men to blow up mailboxes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When you promote material things at prostitutes.
It is ridiculous to assume that when a young man is 16, has a brand new Corvette and a blonde prostitute.
That is a lot of baloney. That is not what makes young men of respect.
Well, then for God's sake, you know if a young man has got a particularly toned job, he's not going to be having a
Camaro. You are still eating, so apparently the Camaro did not cure you.
I did not get a Camaro. That was my point. I did not get a Camaro. My parents didn't give me a Camaro.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you have one now.
No, I do not. But what I do have is an eating disorder.
Well, whatever you have, you have the wrong idea about raising children.
You know, haven't responded to my question, which is, if a young man is cruising down the street in a fire engine red Corvette,
baloney, that is materialistic.
And the blonde beehive head of a prostitute's head bobbing up and down, you think he's going to plant pipe bombs?
We heard that about 10 times.
Well, that's good.
Stop that.
Oh, so he's going to go out and plant pipe bombs right after that?
I know.
Yeah, sure.
And they don't turn into monsters if they're raised right and throw pipe bombs. These kids are screwed up from birth.
They have the wrong mother, the wrong father, as a result of what my parents did to me, I have two eating disorders and an addiction to prostitute sex.
Yeah, well, it didn't start when you were 16. It started from birth and continued on as you grew up. You did not have the love and the respect or the morals put into you.
And
if we advocated what you did, we would have the whole world blown up by teenagers. Because there is no satisfaction in material things or in prostitutes.
Let me ask you something. Have you been drinking?
Not at all.
Not tonight?
I was riding down the highway, and I was getting madder and madder as I heard
horrendous solutions
to the teenage problem.
Well, I was taken off the nipple too soon. I know that. My mother breastfed me.
No, you were more than that. You were more than that. You had many problems, and I think you're in denial of all of your problems of your childhood.
Well, we've gotten way off.
And you have totally no respect for anyone else.
How do you say that I have no respect for anyone else when I'm trying to save some farmer from losing half of his ass?
Yeah, save them by material things? Is that what family life? You apparently do not know what family life and love,
well, first of all,
respect,
I want to thank Penny Marshall
or religion means.
Ms. Marshall, I have enjoyed your television programs, but I
think
you're way off base on this.
I will pray for you, my dear.
What do you mean, Ms. Marshall?
Isn't this Penny Marshall?
Is this Penny Marshall?
You are so screwed up, it isn't funny.
All right, and
I want to know the name of that organization, because I'm going to write them and tell them to get you out of there.
You are a sick person. My organization is called Project Youth Watch.
If the Youth Watch deal, we'd be, as I said, the whole world would blow up. Now,
you're insane. You think that if a young man
I've raised a lot of children, and I have wonderful children.
Would you swallow your food, sir? Would you swallow your food?
I should. This would have taken a young man to the nurse's house to the door have something.
See, you're so fat and you can't stop eating that I can't understand a word you're saying.
Do you understand what you're saying? Hey,
yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I can understand what you're saying, but I cannot understand you because I think it's a shame because you need a lot of counseling, a lot of counseling.
Do you have a son named Luke?
No, yep, I have a son named Louie.
It's her. Yeah, Louie. Louie Luke Helder.
It ain't her.
This isn't the mother.
No, it's not.
No.
All right, Jeannie.
But I have been in charge of 500 kids at the Derry MY, in charge of swim team.
Jeannie, do you better go home?
Well, I can't understand because...
All right, hold on for a minute, Jeannie. Mr. Schwinn, we can't understand you. What'd you say? He's asking, do you have any kids?
Yes, I do.
How many?
Seven.
I'm not going to say that to her. I'm not going to say that to her.
I don't care what he says.
Have you ever been in a Camaro, he's asking.
Of course. That doesn't impress me. Those things do not impress me or anyone else who is of character.
Forget it, Roland. I'm not saying anything about ball handling, so forget it, okay? Jeannie, appreciate your phone call this evening. Thank you very much.
It's good that... It doesn't matter. I just hope this guy gets some help. And what is the name of the organization? Yeah. Well, it's a shame. It's a shame because
it's a shame that he
gonna...
can't swallow any food so we can understand what he's saying.
I know.
That's the shame. Good Lord.
Do you go along with this?
Do I
go along with what he's saying? It doesn't sound like you do.
I will not go. No, I don't go along with it, Jeannie. I don't think you give a kid a prostitute and a Camaro at 16. And
you can't deny it.
Yes, I can deny it. All right.
And don't you think that
how is
this
it that we're talking to a guy with
16?
Oh, I believe so.
Problem?
We're talking to a guy about with an eating disorder about pipe bombs. How does this happen? Only on this show. All right. Thank you very much, Jeannie. Mr. Schwinn, good luck with your meal. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and I do the voices of the characters on my show. And that last voice, Roland Schwinn, I was doing it. I got to say that because they told me that I got to start saying it. See, I didn't want to say it. I said, well, I'll just keep my big fat mouth shut and people can just kind of guess at how this thing happens. But people were calling up incensed and outraged and crazed, and they thought these people ought to be taken out and gunned down. And I said, well, we'll just go along with this notion that Hendry will come on the air every now and again and tell people, don't you worry, those people aren't real. It's just me doing a funny voice. And the people that call in, yes, they think they're real people, but there's only a handful of them. Don't worry about your country. We're not going down the crapper. The country still, for the most part, is as intelligent as it was before Phil Hendry ever got on the air. I don't know how bright that is, but, you know, I don't think it's deteriorated that much. So that's how we do the old Phil Hendry Show, at least in part. And then we also have different opinions and viewpoints on things. We have a website. You can visit that. We have a souvenir shop. You can buy things and gradually become a part of the ever-swelling Phil Hendry family. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And if you watch the news shows in the morning, there's a lot of people weighing in on the Israeli-Palestine question. And I don't know if you follow that story, but it's of particular interest to me because I think it's sort of a microcosm of what's going on over there. It's one of those stories I like to look at, and I just know how I feel about it. I just know how I feel about it. You know, I just see the steaming, aromatic bullcrap that just floats from that story, and it's just stunning how many people get sucked into thinking in ways that you would think intelligent people wouldn't think. Like, for instance, this morning, I don't know who she was, but she's on TV this morning, and she's talking about, and the Israelis are committing war crimes, and another thing, it's a violation of the Geneva Conventions. What? First of all, they're in an armed standoff with Palestinian gunmen in a church. What are you talking about, Geneva Convention? And they're not giving them food? Huh? Not giving them food? Hey, you want some food? You put up a white flag, put your hands up in the air, and you come out. You lose, we win. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it's done. Now, yes, if everybody wants to talk about the Geneva Convention, then why don't you talk about wearing a uniform? Because that's part of the Geneva Convention. Uniformed soldiers representing a nationalist entity. These guys gave up wearing uniforms a long time ago, these Arabs. See, the Arabs, the last time they put on a uniform, last Arab that I saw in a uniform, he was on his knees begging for his life from a U.S. Marine. He was an Iraqi. That's the last guy that I saw, that's the last Arab I saw who actually had the basic civilized instinct to put on a uniform and say, here I am, I'm a soldier, I got a gun, why don't you shoot at me and I'll shoot at you, and let's see who's standing after that. Well, you know how that goes. Put an Israeli here and an Arab there. Give them both guns. They point at each other. The Arab's going to miss 9 times out of 10. Now, am I being racist? No. No, I'm not. I'm talking history. I'm talking history. So they want the Geneva Convention protection, but on the other hand, they want to walk into a supermarket or into a bowling alley or into a pool room. Boy, these Arabs, there's one thing I take personally. It's walking into a freaking pool hall as a suicide bomber. That shows you where those guys are coming from. They don't like pool. I bet you they ain't got one decent billiard hall in all of Arabia. I'm telling you, man, if ever the day comes when we can sweep away the Saddam Husseins and all of the sheikhs, we get to know the people on the ground, like the real people, it might be actually kind of a party. I'm sure they're pretty cool. I read a thing today in Time magazine, which kind of backs up what a lot of other people have been saying, that the Iraqi people are sick to death of this guy Hussein. They want him out of there, but every time they open their mouths to say something about it, oops, they get shot. And that does tend to quiet people down. You don't get a lot of dissent in the Arab world, and the reason for that is very simple. Anybody disagrees with the church, with the party line over there, they get their head blown off. So here's this morning, I'm watching this news channel. These people, and they're Americans, and they're idiots. Idiots. I think that there is a basic anti-Semitic strain running through the United States that is so deep that it's difficult for people to speak up on the side of Israel. Here's a country that's encircled, absolutely encircled. They've been attacked I don't know how many times. They've had to kick ass I don't know how many times. People are actively trying to murder their people. People are actively trying to destroy their country. It's in the charter of all of these groups, destroy Israel. It's in the charter of these groups. This is the constitutional charter. Let's destroy Israel, okay? Here's a country that's on the ropes, baby. Fighting back. And they're the aggressors. Now all you got, you know, Daisy May on TV this morning go, and another thing, they won't feed them, and the people are dying. They're dying. And what else are they going to do besides blow themselves up? Really? You know, I still would like to know where Yasser Arafat's old lady, isn't she living in New York with her kid? Why don't you strap a bomb to her? She's on saying, yeah, suicide bombers, they're out of sight, man. I'm down with that, okay? Well, you got a daughter. Why don't you go and fly her back to Israel, pack a bomb on her, and pull the trigger, mama. Oh, and it's okay, somebody else's kid does it, though. Good Lord. I think the anti-Semitism in America is so deep, so endemic. I don't know where it started. I don't know what the problem is with Jews that people have got, but they got a problem with it. And I always have to bring this up, by the way, when I get on one of these tirades about Israel. No, I'm not Jewish. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to call and say, you must be a Jew. No, I'm afraid to disappoint you. Afraid to take the steam out of your argument. Afraid to sort of flatten your tires, man, out of the gate. But no, I'm not. But the people in this country have got a problem with Jews to the point where they can't even stand up for a country, the only democracy in that part of the world, which the lady that called yesterday made a damn good point. If it wasn't for Israel, Saddam Hussein would have a nuclear weapon today. He would have a nuclear bomb today. He was building a nuclear reactor. And jets from the Israeli Air Force took off from Israel in 1978, flew over hostile territory, and took it out. And they screamed, and they cried, and they bellyached, and they bitched, and they moaned, and they did what the Arabs do. Pumped their fist in the air and burned a few flags. But there wasn't much else they could do about it. Because you know what? Israel's a country, you know, all bets are off, man. They'll go down swinging. They'll go down swinging. You want to take them out? It's going to cost you a lot. And they know it. Gee, just think, about 20 minutes ago, we were having fun talking about Camaros and prostitutes. What's that? Look at me. I hardly know myself. All right, here is Mancha.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I love your show.
Thanks, Mancha.
It's awesome. I just wanted to say that these Palestinian guys, they're so tough, right? Why would they be held up in a church? You know?
Yeah, they're held up in a church and hiding behind civilians, which is also a very courageous thing to do.
Civilians and nuns and priests.
And nuns and priests. Way to go, baby. And you know what? When they walk out of there today, which I think they've cut the deal, they'll all be pumping their fist in the air with their rifles, talking about what big shots they are. It's amazing. I mean, they got a propaganda mill over there that is astounding. These guys will walk out of that church going, hey, yeah, just like Arafat when he came walking out with, bacon strips in his underwear because he'd been crapping in his pants for 3 weeks. And he was like some kind of a hero? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.